God uses several means to help us grow as Christians. The Holy Spirit uses Holy Scripture. He uses prayer, fellowship, communion. And he uses at least one means that is both unpleasant and unwanted: chastening. And that's what we're looking at this morning. The Bible says much about two kinds of chastening. Number one, the kind that parents do when they spank their children. And secondly, the kind that God uses when he spanks his children. Today we're going to do a message concentrating on the second, but I would encourage parents and children to listen to the comments from time to time in the morning message on what the Bible says about parents chastening their children. Now, what we mean is this: chastening is spanking or chastisement or discipline that God does to his children because of their disobedience. He does it out of love for their good. Open with me in your copies of the Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the key place in Scripture that addresses the subject. So we're going to go through verses 5 to 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Here the author reminds them and us, because like them, we tend to forget. And if we forget why God does it, we will misunderstand it when he does it to us. Here he says sons, but that includes daughters, because when we become Christians, we are children of God. We are members of his family. Therefore, God the Father will discipline each and every one of his children. We're part of his family by adoption. Now, you'll notice that he quotes Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, to remind and instruct them. In the same way, I am quoting Hebrews 12 to remind and instruct you. God is a father. Here he quotes where Solomon is giving instruction to his sons. And in a way, as your pastor, I'm like a father to you to give you this instruction and this advice. So what the author does is he appeals to the Old Testament. There's our first lesson for us. When we're going through a tough time as a Christian, go to the Bible and see what the Bible says that would apply to your situation, such as chastening or afflictions or trials or challenges. And so apply it to you in your life. Now, he could have also quoted Job 5, 17 and 18, where Job said, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." And then Job goes on to say, "God bruises, but he also heals." Now, keep that in mind. There's something unpleasant about chastening. We remembered that when we were little children. It wasn't pleasant to be spanked. But God reminds us that it's for our good, and he heals us. So keep that in mind. Notice the text here in Hebrews 12 says, "Do not despise the chastening of the Lord." To despise means we don't like it, and it's something wrong, it's not fitting, and we want to spit it out and say, "I don't want this." But God says, don't despise it. We tend to despise chastening, just like a child doesn't want. What child ever lines up and says, "I want to be spanked, Mommy"? No, children don't do that, and neither do the children of God. When God lays that chastening rod upon us, we want to kick against it. We want to say, "I don't deserve this. I don't want it." Or even if I do deserve it, "Well, do it some other way, or do it later, or can you make an excuse for me?" And then we despise it in various ways. We gripe. We murmur. And like a little spoiled child, we throw it back at our parents and we pout. You ever heard a child do that? Maybe I'm touching someone's memory here, where When the parent spanks the child, that child pouts and says, "You're mean, you're mean." And we do that against God when He chastens us and we pout and we begin to grumble and we begin to say, "God's mean." And that's wrong. You children, don't ever take that attitude when your parents are chastening you. Don't ever throw it back at them and say, "You're mean." They're doing it for your good and they do it because they love you. But let me also add this. Dear family of God, when God chastens you, don't say God is mean. God is always righteous and holy. And if that thought enters your heart where you're accusing God, on the authority of God's word, I tell you, stop it. That's the wrong attitude, and you are actually inviting more chastening. Don't despise it. To despise the chastening of God is to despise God Himself. Notice the text says it's the chastening of the Lord. We need to see all chastening is ultimately from God. He'll use means just like a parent may use a stick or a paddle. God uses various means to chasten His children. And we're going to look at some of those in a few minutes, but ultimately it's from God. God might use people to chasten us. God might even use people that are not Christians, and they will go after you for the wrong reasons. But ultimately, it's God using them. They'll have to answer to God, but ultimately, it's God that's doing the chastening. The text says, don't be discouraged either. It's easy to be discouraged. But when we see the secret of chastening, actually, we can be encouraged, not discouraged, by the chastening of the Lord. Then he says, don't be discouraged when you are rebuked. To rebuke means to correct or to show a person's faults. Just like when a parent will take the child aside and say, "Now I told you don't do that. Now let me explain to you why I'm doing this. You disobeyed and that I'm going to do this because I love you." A wise parent will explain it to the child in the same way God in this passage is explaining to us why He is doing this, and He is correcting us. And that hurts our pride and our selfishness. Well, the quotation continues in verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son He receives. Now, we know from Scripture that God has a general love for all mankind, even non-Christians, His enemies. But here it's zeroing in on His special love that He has for His children. Parents will love everybody, but will reserve a special love for their children. And so God chastens His children out of love. Now, that is very, very crucial. If you're taking notes, write that down and underline it. Maybe put a star next to it. When God chastens us, dear children of God, it is because He loves us. He loves us enough to chasten us. You know, occasionally you'll hear parents say, "Oh, I love my children too much to chasten them." No, you don't love them enough to chasten them. A loving parent will do it out of love. In the same way, God does it out of love. In fact, everything that He does for Christians ultimately is out of love. And then the question will arise, well, isn't chastening out of His wrath? Not really. It's not out of judicial wrath, but out of fatherly displeasure. And there's a world of difference between them. And parents need to know the difference. Again, I'm going to apply this to parents. Parents, you may have a bad day at work. And then you come home and you find out one of your children has done something wrong. And you've told them 50 times, "Don't do that." It would be very easy for you to lose your temper and to take it out on them. Maybe you've had a bad day at work or you're not feeling well. My strong advice to you is don't chasten them out of anger. They will realize if you're doing it out of love or out of anger, if you're taking it out on them. So what should you do? Cool off. Wait a while. And imitate God so that you spank them out of love, not out of anger. Remember, I repeat again, God chastens us not out of judicial wrath, and we're going to explain that a little bit later, but out of fatherly displeasure because He loves us. God chastens us as a loving father, not as an angry judge. Notice the text says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son and every daughter, every Christian, not just some. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, God's laying the rod upon me, and I'm looking at my other Christians, and they're not getting punished like this. That's like a child that says to the parent, why do you always punish me and not Susie or Joey? And then the parent will say, because you did this and they didn't do that, but I will chasten them. Parents need to punish all of their children wisely. Verse 8 says, of which we all become partakers. So all Christians, every Christian here will be chastened by God sometime or another. You know, recently I overheard a father that has several children give advice to a father-to-be who's expecting his first child. And his advice was, discipline those children early and start as early as you can. And that's good advice. And God does that with his children very early on. In fact, from the very first day that they are converted, God begins to chasten them for their good. Next, look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? This tells us that chastening is proof that we are God's children. What son? Now, what he is saying here is that in general, parents everywhere will discipline their children in various amounts, some more, some less. Unfortunately, some parents chasten their children too much. They're too harsh. They go overboard. Maybe some of you had parents that chastened you too much. What should you do? You should be willing to forgive them. The Bible does not endorse child beating. There's a big difference between chastening and beating. Many countries in the world have actually outlawed spanking because they confuse it with beating. The Bible does not endorse child beating, but it does teach child spanking, chastening, discipline. So some parents do it too much. On the other hand, some parents do it too little. And as a result, they spoil their children. They let them get away with things. Now, here's a principle for parents, and it also applies in the spiritual realm. When parents do it too much, those little children will regret it. But when parents do it too little, one day those parents will regret that they did not discipline their children enough when they should have when they were young. Learn the lesson of one of the judges in the Old Testament, Eli. It says that Eli did not discipline his boys. And when those young boys grew up, they were wild, and it was too late for old Eli to chasten them, and he regretted it. So learn the lesson. Now, the point I'm making on the spiritual realm is God never chastens too much or too little. When he chastens his children, he is wise to know how to do it just right. You parents should learn to have godly wisdom and base it upon the Bible so you chasten just right. Not too much, not too little. God never beats his children. And so he has no reason to regret it. And neither does he spoil his children, so we have reason to regret it. He does it just right. Verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. What this tells us is that God chastens his children, not his enemies. Just like basically a parent should chasten their children. Not the neighbor's kids. Maybe if the children, those other kids come in and do something bad in your house, you might take them home to their parents. But basically, we chasten our children, not other people's children. God chastens his children, not his enemies. Now, this is very significant. He doesn't chasten non-Christians. He might deal with them in a variety of ways, and for different purposes, but he chastens all of his children, but not his enemies. Well, what about unbelievers? Some people will say everybody is a member of the family of God. We're all brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's not what the Bible says. That's why I began earlier saying we have to be adopted into God's family. And until that happens in salvation, we belong to another family, not the family of God. What family do we belong to until we become Christians? We belong to the devil's family. And the devil doesn't discipline his children with wisdom or godliness or holiness or love. It's a completely different principle there. Jesus said to his enemies, "You are of your father, the devil." So we have to be adopted out of that family. So unbelievers are not part of God's family. God will deal with his enemies one day. And again, remember I said, he doesn't discipline his children as an angry judge, but as a loving father. Non-Christians are God's enemies. And if they die as unrepentant enemies of God, God will one day not chasten them, but severely punish them as an angry judge and not as a loving father. And yet, God does do certain things in the life of unbelievers that is kind of like chastening. What do I mean? He does certain things and allows them to suffer to get their attention. Just like an old farmer will get about a two foot length of 2x4 and hit that mule on the head to get his attention. God does things that are severe in the life of a non-Christian to get their attention. If you're a non-Christian and you're going through something rough, God's trying to get your attention. He's not chastening you for your sins because you're not his children yet. He is doing certain things because of your sins to get your attention. If you're an unbeliever, let me ask you, what is God doing in your life that is unpleasant, that you don't like, but you can trace it back to some sins in your life? What is God doing in your life to get your attention? Listen to it and turn to God while there is time. God chastens members of his family, all of his children, sons, daughters, new Christians, old Christians. Now, let me throw in a sideline here. We are the family of God at Faith Bible Church. We are brothers and sisters. We belong to the family of God. I'm not your father. God is your father. But as a father uses various means to carry out discipline for his children, there's one means God will use in the family of God, the local church, to carry out discipline for seriously sinning Christians. You know what it is? Church discipline. Very few churches practice it. We've never had to fully enforce it here, but we would if it's necessary. God will use that as a means to correct and chasten his children in that family. God has ordained to use the local church as one means of disciplining a seriously sinning Christian. Now, I say seriously because maybe a parent will discipline their children for many offenses, but in the local church, it's reserved for serious sins, gross sins. But again, using biblical wisdom, we would do it out of love, with a view toward repentance and restoration. But it's a very serious matter, just like all chastening should be. Let's move on to verse 9. Furthermore, God says, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? By and large, grown children appreciate their parents for the chastening that they receive. And when the parents do it rightly, later those children will rise up and thank and say, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for doing it to me when I deserved." And you know, I have met children that wish their parents had chastened them. They said, "My parents spoiled me. They let me do anything I wanted to do. Drink liquor when I was 10 years old and run around and sleep around. Oh, I wish my parents had loved me enough to say no and stop me." But when parents do it properly, grown children will thank them for that. You parents, when the day will come when your children will be very grateful that you lovingly and wisely chasten them. I remember thanking my parents. Yes, my parents thanked me. My mother, your parents will say, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. You wait until you become a parent. You'll know what that means." But it was literally true with my mother. She would later say, "Kurt, I spanked you till my hand hurt. Oh, it hurt because I had to wallop you over and over and over again." My dad didn't have to do it as often. One slap and I got the message from Daddy. He did it hard. I said, "Yes, sir." And I respect, I was afraid sometimes that he would do something more than use his hand. My dad was raised on a ranch, and in his closet he had a little horse whip. And I was afraid he was going to use that on me one day. He never did, because he did it properly. And I thank God my parents wisely and lovingly chastened me. Now, if parents chasten too little, a wise grown-up child will wish that they had done more. But if those parents do it too much, then that child will wish that those parents had done it less. You know, it's not just parents that sometimes chastens. School teachers will do it in a variety of ways. You know, give a detention or something. I went to school once where the teachers had the legal right to spank the children that misbehave. I don't think that's legal very much in most places. Let me tell you about a man that did it with me a few times. His name was Gary Lombard. He visited our church about 5 years ago. Boy, was he a tough guy. He was tough. He worked on railroads. He was a union leader. He was tough and didn't take any guff from anybody. Real tough guy. He was the youth group leader in our high school youth group when I was a kid. And he would have to put some of the boys in line occasionally. You know how boys will be. They'll horse around. They'll sneak up behind someone and drop something down someone's back, or they'll pour Coke on their head. Or what we'd do is we'd start wrestling around, and Gary would come in and say, "Okay, guys, you got 5 seconds to stop." And we could hear him count down, 5, 4. And if we didn't get up off the ground, he'd take off his belt and start popping us with that. And you never saw teenage boys jump up so quickly as when Gary Lombard did that to us. That's been 40 years. And all those boys are now grown men. And we love that man. We loved him. We respected him. Because we knew that we had it coming. And he wouldn't take any guff. You see, the Bible says here that we will respect parents that do it properly. In the same way, when God does it properly to us, that instills in us a certain loving reverence for God, our Heavenly Father. So we should respect God. Remember that. Not only don't complain and despise it, but remember this. When God lays the rod on you, dear brethren, are you listening? He is still holy. He is doing it because we deserve it. Don't complain. He is still holy. We should respect him and reverence our Heavenly Father. And there's something else we should do instead of just loving him and respecting him. Have you ever thanked God? I've just said that wise children, when they grow up, will thank their parents for doing it. Have you ever thanked God for chastening you? Think back to the times when God really did chasten you for something you knew was wrong. Did you thank him for it? It's never too late. Maybe you're being chastened right now for something. Thank God that he loves you enough to do that to you. Verse 10. For they, that is these parents indeed, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, what he's saying is parents do it only temporarily. That is, by stages as children grow up. And all parents need to have the wisdom to know what is appropriate for every stage in life. There are certain things you don't do to a two-week-old child or a two-year-old. You would do later on, but it takes wisdom to know the difference. You don't spank a 26-year-old son, but on the other hand, there's certain things you would do to an 8-year-old. Have the wisdom to know it, and in the same way, God chastens us at various levels according to our maturity. This helps develop maturity, and there'll be certain things he'll do to us early in our Christian life because we don't know much. But as we grow older and know more about the Bible, then he will chasten us in different ways. But yet children will grow up, and when they get married, they are no longer under their parents' authority, so the parents will no longer chasten them. They'll just simply give advice. However, God will continue to discipline us. We never outgrow it. You better tighten your seatbelts, children of God. God's going to continue to chasten you as long as you're in this life. And then when you get to heaven, it'll no longer be necessary. And we will then thank him for the discipline that he did to us when we were back on earth. Now, here's the question we should ask at this juncture. Why does God do this to us? Why does God chasten us? Children will wonder, well, Mommy, if you love me, why are you spanking me? If you love me, why are you saying I can't go on that date or to that picnic or to that football game? Is it because you're mean? Why? A loving parent will explain it, and a loving Heavenly Father explains it to us. And so the first reason is this. Why is God chasing us? Because of disobedience. We deserve it. We've got it coming. And so God explains it to us in the Bible, including this passage here. Now, let's set the record straight. Not all afflictions that we go through are chastening. There's a difference. Some afflictions are not because of disobedience. It's a trial. It's to test us. It's to soften us up. It's to make us sympathetic to others. We did a message on that a few months ago. Not all afflictions are for chastening, but some are. Some afflictions are chastening. So we need to study the Bible in order to know the difference. It takes biblical wisdom to discern when you are being chastened. So maybe you're going through an affliction, some difficulty, and you're wondering, is this because I've done something wrong or not? How do you find out? Study the Bible. Keep reading it, and the longer you are a Christian that know your Bible, the quicker the answers will come to you. But in the meantime, God has given us something else internally that helps us know why. And you know what it is? It's our conscience. And we studied that a few weeks ago. And so just like a child when it's being disciplined, his conscience will go off and he'll tell him, I know why I'm getting spanked. It's because I poured paint on the carpet over there, or I hit Susie with a shoe. That little child's conscience will tell them what's wrong. And in the same way, family of God, when God chastens us, he teaches us externally through the Bible, and he reminds us internally by our conscience we have done wrong, and that's why God is chastening us. Now, here's another lesson. Don't be too quick to judge a person that's another Christian when they're being afflicted. Don't be too quick to say, oh, it's because of sin. There must be sin in your life. It might not be chastening. You're not the final arbiter of that. So be very, very careful. On the other hand, it might be chastening, and God might use you to help that person see it. So be very careful lest you imitate Job's friends. You remember, he wasn't being chastened, but they said, Job, there must be some really big sin in your life. Well, there wasn't, because the Bible says several times, Job did not sin in this. He was righteous. So let's learn the lesson, and don't be too quick to tell another Christian he is or is not being chastened by the Lord. Now, my point is this. Not all afflictions are chastening, but all chastening is because of disobedience. We did something wrong. We sinned. Now let's apply this also to the natural realm. Parents should discipline when there is disobedience, not when there's not disobedience. Now there are other things you can do, like rewarding them and teaching them and so forth, when there's a tough time that's not because of disobedience. But if it's for disobedience, explain it to your children. But sometimes a parent will chasing a child that's innocent. And the parent thinks the child is guilty. Has that ever happened to anybody here? I bet every child here could raise both hands. I'm still remembering when I was 14 years old, I got severely punished for something my sister did. Now, the funny thing is that she did something I wanted to do. So I got disciplined for the intention, but not the act. And she got disciplined. She didn't get any discipline. But what happens when a child is disciplined and that child knows, I didn't deserve this. It was someone else that did it. Well, I learned a lesson a long time ago. When I got disciplined for something I did not do, I remembered the times I didn't get disciplined for things that Mom and Dad didn't find out about. So I just simply applied one to the other and it all equaled out in the wash. So you children remember that. There are times that you may be disciplined by your parents for things you didn't do, but remember the things that you got away with that they didn't know about. But God never makes this mistake. When he spanks us, children of God, you can bet that you deserve it. And ask for God to show you the lessons involved. Now, secondly, what's the purpose of this? The why is because of our disobedience. But look back at the text here, verse 10. He does it for our profit, so that we may be partakers of his holiness. In other words, it's for our spiritual good. It helps us grow spiritually. It's for our sanctification. It teaches us right for wrong. That's what it means in the next few verses. It yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, God uses two matching principles, and parents need to imitate this as well. One positive, one negative. The positive is the reinforcement with rewards. Parents should reward their children when they do right. God rewards his children. It helps us grow, and it produces this fruit. And there'll be many great rewards in heaven for our obedience. That's the positive. But then there's the negative. Now, if you want to get sociological about it, you could call this negative reinforcement of negative warnings. And they have other psychological terms. Basically, it means God reinforces when he says no, and we go ahead and do it. And that's chastening. Parents learn how to use both the positive of rewards and the negative of chastening and use them wisely. Now, we need chastening. I've already said that it's like that farmer that has to hit a mule with a 2x4, and we're stupid and stubborn and sinful like mules. But let me just change that around a little bit. When we become Christians, we've still got a lot of that non-Christian sin in us. It's called original sin. And so we struggle with that. We're not so much like wild mules, but like wild Mustangs. You know what wild Mustangs are. Those are wild horses that love to run freely out there in the deserts of Montana and Nevada. But then somebody, some cowboy will go out there and catch them. You know, my father grew up as a cowboy, and he rode in rodeos, and he had to break those wild Mustangs. What do you do with a wild Mustang? You bring them to a rodeo and throw a saddle on it and see, and you give a prize to somebody who can stay on it for 8 seconds. We are wild Mustangs. We want to be, God has to break us. God has to chasten us so that he can ride on us for more than 8 seconds, but for the rest of our lives. So he has to break us. And it's not easy. A Mustang doesn't want to get broken. He wants to throw the rider. We want to say, no, I don't want this. God, I want an easier way of growing in the Christian life. But God has a way of breaking his Mustangs so that he can ride on them. And a tamed horse that's been broken doesn't need a whip. The best horses in the shows and the rodeos and other ones, they don't need a whip. They certainly don't need to have that rider digging his spurs in them. The best riders in the world. In fact, we used to have one in this church. She was a rodeo rider, and she could do things with the horse that were amazing. You ever look at them? And they do something secretly where they just kind of nudge the horse or say something to the horse, and that horse, the rider and the horse become like one person. And those are the best riders and the best horses. That's what God is instilling in us. But it has to start with the chastening. God doesn't want wild Mustangs. He wants us to be like a tamed horse so that we trust the rider. So he just simply nudges us and we do what he says. And then God just simply says, do this, go to the right, go to the left. And we say, yes, Lord. That's what we should be, not wild Mustangs. Let's move on. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. It hurts. It's meant to hurt. It'll bring tears both to the child and to the Christian. And God chastens us in a variety of ways, just like a wise parent will use different ways. Go to your room without supper, or you can't go on that picnic, or what's that old saying? They'll apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. God uses a variety of ways, and so does parents. What are some of the ways God uses? Well, one is sickness. That's probably the most common one. It might be short term, like the flu. It might be long term with an affliction, with surgeries and side effects. Sickness might be mild or it might be severe. It might be financial loss. You lose something precious. You don't get that job or something like that. God uses all sorts of negative things to chasten us. There's an interesting story in the Bible concerning King David. Now, this wasn't when he was chastened after his sin with Bathsheba, but another time when he disobeyed God and did a census of Israel, which God had told him not to do, and says God came to him, and God says, David, yes, Lord, you've done wrong, and so you're going to be chastened. I'm going to give you a choice. It's going to be this, that, or the other. And go look it up in 2 Samuel. It's going to be this, where you're going to be, there's going to be a plague, or it's going to be this, your enemy's going to come after you. Now, David, you make your choice. Think about it. And David chose one of them. Now, let me just apply this to you parents. Don't always chasten them in the same way. Use a variety of ways. Try this on them sometime. Give them a choice. And say, now, you disobeyed, and you knew you did wrong. Now, I'm going to let you choose. Is it going to be this or that or this third one? And just sit back and observe them thinking it over. That's a very wise thing for a parent to do. And God does that with us sometimes. He'll say, now, how do you want to be chastened in this? It'll be this or that. Now, God sometimes uses very severe means of chastening. Psalm 118:18 says, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Let me ask you to turn to a very serious passage in the Bible. So turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. David said, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. But there are times God severely chastens his children with severe illness, including death. You say, is that in the Bible? Yes, look at 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 29. Now, the context here is communion, and we're going to have communion in just a few moments. And so he's laid down instruction. He's quoted the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's only for believers, but it's also for believers that will confess their sins. So he says, verse 29, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, that is, with unconfessed gross sin, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, he's asking for chastening. It's bold. It's rebellious. For this reason, verse 30, what reason? If he's doing it in an unworthy manner, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, the sleeping there is not talking about falling asleep in church. That's talking about the sleep of death. In extreme cases, God will not only chasten a person with illness, but even with death. Yes, it's in the Word of God. That's how serious this is. Now, this does not apply to parents because parents are not allowed to use death to discipline their children. Only God has that right. But what he is saying here is very serious. Well, let's apply that to the immediate context here. If you dare partake of communion with unconfessed, gross, serious sin, you can expect God to chasten you in a very severe way. That's why we've quoted this passage from time to time in this church. Examine your heart. Confess your sins before you eat and drink, or you're asking for judgment. You're asking for chastening. And there have been people that will go home and later that week, something will happen to them, and they'll say, it's because I took communion in an unworthy way Sunday morning. So examine your hearts. Very serious matter here. And then sometimes we incur serious chastening, not just because of communion, but other things. That's why chastening is such a serious thing in the life of a Christian. Now, God chastens in other ways, not just with sickness or other things, but sometimes by withholding the felt sense of his presence. That's kind of like a parent saying, now, I'm not going to spank you. I'm not going to take away your allowance, but go to your room for the next 3 hours. Now, don't turn on the radio. Don't turn on the television, the computer. You just sit there or go and sit in the corner. Don't say anything and nobody says anything to you. Sometimes that's the appropriate chastening for children. Usually when I was a child, I got the paddle, but my sister had to go and sit and she, usually spankings didn't work with her, but having to be there all alone would work with her. Now, God does that with his children. He'll give us the silent treatment. You ever gone through that? Where you think God's going to chasten me and nothing happens, but you don't sense his presence. And your prayers are not getting through. You go to the church, you read your Bible, you say, I don't feel anything. I feel dry, but guilty. God sometimes withholds the felt sense of his presence in order to chasten you. It says in the book of Hosea, Ephraim is drawing to idols. Leave him alone. Or Samson, when God disciplined him in stages, it says, the Lord departed from Samson and he knew it not. And then later it got even more severe. And then God surprises us in other ways with chastening that will surprise you. Has this ever happened to you where he surprises you in a way you didn't expect it and he disciplines you? We had about a father that did this in a very wise way. He learned how to discipline his son in various stages and different ways. And he kept telling this son that was about 10 years old, now don't do this. Don't do a certain thing. But the time came when that son just flagrantly disobeyed the father and went and did that anyway. And the father found out about it. But the father had been telling him, now, son, if you do that, I'm going to chasten you in a way you will never, ever forget. But when the boy did that and got caught, he said, uh-oh, I really asked for it. Oh, boy, am I going to get a whipping this time? Oh, boy. So the father said, come here. I'm going to give you a chastening you will never, ever forget. Get on your knees. The boy got down and he was trembling and shaking and the tears were already coming. He said, oh, I'm going to get the worst beating. The father reached down, picked up a little blade of grass. Just gently stroked it across the boy's forehead and said, son, don't ever do it again. And the boy looked up and said, yes, daddy, I'll never do it again. And he never did. And he never, ever forgot that chastening. God sometimes does that to us where we know we got a severe whipping coming and he just gently says, don't do it again. And we'll never do it again. Because in such cases, a severe whipping wouldn't have worked, but a gentle talking to will. Just think about that. Let's move on. It says in the next verse, verse 11, that this will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, sanctification. And it also does something else. Part of the peaceable fruit of righteousness and sanctification is not only holy attitudes and a holy life, but it develops love for God. Remember I told you about Gary Lombard. We love that guy. We love our parents when they do it right to us. When parents discipline their children right, the children will love them for it. And in the same way, we will love God even more because of the chastening. Let me tell you another little story. I remember this like it happened yesterday. But it happened about 35 years ago when I was studying overseas. For a week or two, I was staying at the Foreign Missions Club in London. That's a little hotel reserved for traveling preachers and missionaries. And I was staying there. And remember one afternoon, I was talking with this couple that were missionaries down in Africa, where the husband had to go into the other room, so the wife was there telling me about their missionary work. And she had a little four-year-old son there. Well, that little four-year-old son began to misbehave because daddy wasn't there. And started to do this and do that. And mama said, now stop that. Stop that. And on the third time, she turned to me and said, excuse me, I have to discipline my son. So she went over to him and he started crying. No, mommy, now, I told you, don't do that. So she got down on her knees and she said, now bend over. And she spanked him just hard enough so he got the message. And there were a few tears. She said, now, you know, I do this because I love you and you deserved it. And you disobeyed me in front of somebody else. Now, what do you say? And the child said, I'm sorry. And I won't do it again. And I'll never forget what the child said next. With the little tears just running down both eyes, the little child says, Mommy, I'm sorry. Mommy. And it's like a transformation. The child says, Mommy, I really am sorry. Mommy, I love you. I love you. The love came out of that little child instead of the rebellion. You parents know what that's like. And that's what God is doing in our lives. So when he chastens us, he melts the rebellion. So that the love comes out. And so we lovingly reverence God. And so we're trained, as it says here. Like the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is grown, he will not depart from it. God trains us up with chastening so that when we grow up, it instills sanctification in us, and we should learn not to do these things again. Okay, let's have two applications as we conclude. Four applications and then a little bit of icing on the cake. Number one, what do we do when we are Christians knowing we have been chastened by God? Well, the first thing is, see that it's coming from the hand of a loving heavenly Father. Number two, submit. Don't complain, don't rebel, or you're asking for another spanking. Number three, and perhaps most importantly, confess and repent. You know, that word repent has gone out of use these days, and a lot of preachers won't preach on it, but this preacher does because it's a Bible word, and it's applicable to chastening. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Doesn't say do penance. That has to do with taking your punishment. But repent. And when God chastens us properly, we do confess and we do repent. And that's for our good. Let me read you just a couple of verses without comment. When David was being chastened, back in Psalm 32, he said this. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. In other words, chastening. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. In my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So brethren, when God lays the rod of chastening upon you, repent. And fourthly, learn from it. So you don't have to go through the chastening again, where you'll say, once is enough. Now, save the best wine for last, and it's very important, brethren. I want to leave you with a very important last thought, and if you don't get this, you really won't understand divine chastening. And it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Jesus ever chastened by Mary and Joseph? Now, think about it. Mary was his natural mother. Joseph was his adopted father. Did they ever have to spank little Jesus? Well, if they did, he didn't deserve it. Because he always behaved properly. He had no sin, no rebellion. It says in the book of Luke twice that he went and was subjected to them. If they ever did it, it's because they were wrong, not because he was wrong. And yet, according to the Bible, Jesus was chastened. But not by his adoptive father, Joseph. He was chastened by his real father, God the Father. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He took our ultimate punishment for us. And on that holy day, God didn't deal with him as a loving father, but as an angry judge. God vented his holy wrath against Jesus for our sins so that we could be saved. This is the important lesson, dear brethren. When God chastens us, he is not punishing us to the full extent we deserve. It says over in the book of Psalms, he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, but as a loving father. God is not getting even with us out of wrath. He got even with us at the cross. And so when God now deals with us in chastening, it's out of loving, fatherly displeasure for our good. Please don't miss that. And when we meditate upon this, it produces something in us akin to chastening. When we realize that Jesus took our ultimate punishment for us, that melts sin in our hearts. It transforms us when we see he took it for us. Maybe you know that in England for many hundreds of years, the prince could never be chastened. He could never be spanked. So what they did, you ever heard the practice? They'd bring in the whipping boy. that would be the best friend of that little prince. He'd play with him and do errands, and that was a very close friend. But if the prince would misbehave, they'd bring in the whipping boy, take his shirt off, and he'd get the spanking and the whipping in front of the prince, and that would hurt the little prince. The little prince would weep and say, "He's taking what I deserve." And that would be good for the little prince, and he would grow up to be a good king. Oh, brethren, when we see that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is really the prince and our best friend, took our punishment for us, that will do something in us that no other chastening will accomplish. Dear children of God, let us submit to our loving Heavenly Father's chastening. He does it out of love for us. Let us submit to Him out of love also. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You love us enough to chasten us. Teach us to submit. In Jesus' name, Amen.